Hello, I am Karen Campbell. Welcome to the Considering Lament podcast. Weekly, you will be able to hear from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland one podcast highlighting the Considering Lament resource, as well as introducing the newly written Psalms of Lament. Psalms of Lament allow us to express our pain, frustration, and hurts to God. In each podcast, we will feature a psalm reflection and will end with the Psalm of Lament. Friedrich Buechner writes that in suffering we can either be broken or broken open. Our hope is that these psalms will facilitate this breaking open to discover the repairs that come from the brokenness in our world. Welcome to Considering Lament.
Psalm 109. My God, don't turn a deaf ear to my hallelujah prayer. Liars are pouring out invective on me. Their lying tongues are like a pack of dogs out to get me, barking their hate, nipping my heels, and for no reason. I love them, and now they slander me, yes, me, and treat my prayer like a crime. They return my good with evil. They return my love with hate. Send the evil one to accuse my accusing judge. Dispatch Satan to prosecute him. When he's judged, let the verdict be guilty. And when he prays, let his prayer turn to sin. Give him a short life and give his job to somebody else. Make orphans of his children. Dress his wife in widow's black. Turn his children into begging street urchins, evicted from their homes. Homeless. May the bank foreclose and wipe them out, and strangers, like vultures, pick them clean. May there be no one around to help him out, no one willing to give his orphans a break. Chop down his family tree so that nobody even remembers his name. But erect a memorial to the sin of his father, and make sure his mother's name is there too. Their sins recorded forever before God, but they themselves sunk in oblivion. That's all he deserves, since he was never once kind. He hounded the afflicted and heartbroken to their graves. And since he loved cursing so much, let curses rain down. Since he had no taste for blessing, let blessings flee far from him. He dressed up in curses like a fine suit of clothes. He drank curses. He took his baths in curses. So give him a gift, a costume of curses. He can wear curses every day of the week. That's what they'll get, those out to get me. An avalanche of just deserts from God. Oh God, my Lord, step in. Work a miracle for me. You can do it. Get me out of here. Your love is so great. I'm at the end of my rope, my life in ruins. I'm fading away to nothing, passing away. My youth gone, old before my time. I'm weak from hunger and can hardly stand up. My body, a rack of skin and bones. I'm a joke in poor taste to those who see me. They take one look and they shake their heads. Help me, oh, help me, God, my God. Save me through your wonderful love. Then they'll know that your hand is in this, that you, God, have been at work. Let them curse all they want. You do the blessing. Let them be jeered by the crowd when they stand up, followed by cheers for me, your servant. Dress my accusers in clothes, dirty with shame, discarded and humiliating old ragbag clothes. My mouth's full of great praise for God. I'm singing his hallelujahs surrounded by crowds, for he's always at hand to take the side of the needy, to rescue a life from the unjust judge. Thank you. I was born in January 1956, the first child. My mother became pregnant again in 1957, and in August of that year was admitted into hospital 6 months early due to complications. She stayed there until she gave birth to my baby brother in February 1958. Three more children arrived in the next 6 years. We had a house filled with noise, with school bags, with friends, and the kind of happiness families assume will somehow last forever. Until it doesn't. 2nd of April, 1981. I was in my bed. At 1 a.m, I was awakened by the screams of my mother downstairs at our front door. Police officers were standing there, their faces set in that official stillness that tells you everything before a word is spoken. A mercury tilt bomb had been placed under my brother's car, and it detonated as he drove home from duty as a police officer. Just 23 he was. He died instantly. He left behind a young wife and an 11-month-old baby boy who would grow up with only photographs of his dad. I watched my parents try to piece their lives back together again. My father, who had been a reserve police officer, went in on himself so much so he couldn't even attend the local Remembrance Day service. The uniforms, the last post, the 2 minute silence, it was all too much for him. During the Troubles, I had always been a young Christian who had tried to build bridges. I had volunteered in a Catholic youth club as well as my own church youth club. I captained a mainly Catholic football team in the local winter league. Following my brother's death, not one of the guys on that team, the manager or the leader of the Catholic youth club, bothered sending a card or a letter or anything. It was like I didn't exist. That hurt. That really hurt. I tried at best to get on with my life. I stopped being Mr. Cross Community and gave up playing football. My minister was always looking out for me, and I am grateful to him and to friends for their presence at what was a difficult time. Over the years, I have had the privilege to meet police officers who had served with my brother. And yes, I always ask the question, who did it? They were never sure, save for the fact that the device bore the hallmarks of two well-known and very active IRA men in that area of South Armagh. In 1988, I read of their deaths. They had blown themselves up with their own bomb. But what stopped me cold was not their deaths, but their births. 25th of January 1958, 9th of February 1958, and my brother, 21st of January 1958. All three were born within a month of each other in the same hospital. I could not escape the thought that my poor mother, who had been in that hospital 5 months already, would have shared a ward with their mothers, that she would have talked to them, that she would have leaned over their cots and said they were two lovely wee boys. I have been able to close the book on my brother's death. Not a lot of people get that kind of closure. My father died a broken man in 2003. My mother died in 2018, aged 91. She carried her loss with quiet dignity to the end. She had the most fantastic relationship, as I still do, with that little 11-month-old baby who grew up to be a teacher in London, working mostly with primary school children who have English as their second language. Many of them, ironically, also growing up without a father. As for me, 45 years on, I am back doing cross-community and interchurch work and living again in the house I grew up in, its walls heavy with memories, both good and sad.
Why should I praise? Have you been silent? Neighbors betrayed me and brought the attack. Friendship stabs in the back. Save us from those who judge unjustly. All the pain.